93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. Ophelia is not even a tropical storm anymore, but it's still bringing rain, flooding, and damage to parts of the Northeast. WTKR-TV's Jay Green.
Holding on to my hat just a little bit here because it's kind of windy out here. But despite the windy conditions, the rainy conditions, and the rough water today, I found some people who were walking along just enjoying the day.
We'd been in the house and we just needed to get out and go for a walk.
Another man I talked to wanted to go fishing, but of course the weather changed those plans.
You can't really tell when you got a bite, and then the current will pull your line and your weight.
And we also found some people surfing along Buckrow Beach.
The government could shut down next week if Congress can't agree on funding, Democratic Arizona Senator Mark Kelly spoke to CBS's Face the Nation.
The growth of our economy is affected. It's going to affect our air traffic control system. If you're going to travel over the holidays and there's a government shutdown, I mean, that's going to impact you. Kids don't get meals when there's government shutdown. The military doesn't get paid.
President Biden says he'll walk the picket line in Detroit Tuesday to show support for striking United Auto Workers union members. Former President Donald Trump will stop by Wednesday. Wayne State University business professor Merrick Masters.
I think the visit by both telegraphs the importance of the industry and the auto worker, and that Sean Fain, the president of the auto workers, has succeeded in making this a national issue over wages.
The White House is sending hundreds of troops to the U.S.-Mexico border amid a surge of arriving migrants. Texas Republican Tony Gonzalez said the administration is mishandling the issue.
If somebody does not qualify for asylum, you don't bus them to New York, you don't send them to L.A., you don't let them go other places, you send them back to their country of origin. If we do that, that is how the crisis ends short term, and then long term there needs to be some movement on immigration reform and in Congress.
Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a different take.
We have to address the root of these population movements and the migration crisis, and we also have to address the domestic U.S. policy issues when it comes to immigration reform.
Gonzalez and Cortez appeared on CBS's Face the Nation. Samples of an asteroid are safely back on Earth. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood explains.
The OSIRIS-REx spacecraft was launched in 2016 on a billion-dollar mission to an asteroid named Bennu. The spacecraft collected samples from the asteroid's surface in 2020, and those fragments date back to the origin of the solar system 4.5 billion years ago.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Like any.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Vice President Kamala Harris will campaign at the University of Wisconsin in Madison early next month. Young voters are expected to have a lot to say about next year's election. Mike Mohn reports.
The Brookings Institution says by the 2028 presidential election, people under the age of 45 will serve as the majority of U.S. voters. At the Alliance for Youth Action, Dakota Hall says young voters want transformational change and won't be satisfied unless there are what he describes as sweeping reforms relating to democracy.
These are folks who went to high school and witnessed nothing but news coverage on their different social media feeds of like dysfunction of government shutdowns and then a global pandemic, right? And so they've seen the worst of what this country can be.
For more progressive young voters, nearly 2 in 3 see safeguarding abortion access as a top priority. Those identifying as more conservatives see bringing inflation under control as their top issue. Michael Hayes, a former consultant, says political attitudes and party identification tend to be formalized by young voters in their late teens and early 20s. He adds a family's political values will influence a young person, but also notes political events can also shape their outlook.
Many of them may identify initially as independents, but they lean toward one party or another. But once the attitudes are formed and once people begin to use them in their political behavior and their voting, they tend to firm up pretty consistently.
Meanwhile, Brookings Institution researchers point out that younger Americans are tilting the electoral playing field strongly toward Democrats. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is great to have you with us on a Tuesday, September 19th, 2023. Tuesday Tangents with Luke. That's what that means. In hour number two, Luke Mather is going to be here. You just heard him along with Will Walter on Town Call. Outstanding program with State Representative Madison and along with Mr. Zommers as well. I listened. Really interesting guy.
Yeah, definitely. And it's cool to hear about young representatives when we have them. He's 26.
Amazing.
Seems to be doing great work. And all the stuff that he's supporting are things that I know matter to me, like public safety. Yeah. You know, he talked about... First of all, you should go and listen to it on civicmedia.us or on your favorite podcast program. It is already uploaded.
Because you're just that good, Mr. Zommers. You're just on top of it.
Well, I would owe it more to the people programming the automation systems that, you know.
I give you a little prop anyway.
Well, thanks.
But yes, we need more youth, more Gen Zers in the legislature.
Yes.
That would help us a lot.
Yeah, some of the things that he talked about include... public safety of parking garages, because we had a collapse recently.
Right.
And there were known issues with it. Nobody fixed them because that costs money and takes time, and it just wasn't a priority, and it needs to be. And one of the other major topics was improving conditions in state prisons because it should be about rehabilitation, not revenge. And some of the conditions are unlivable.
Great show. So if you want, again, you want to catch it, go back to listen on the podcast form to Town Call with Will Walter and Luke Mathers. And Mr. Mathers will be joining us in hour number two at 2:30 this week, Tuesday Tangents with Luke. And he'll be talking a little bit about those subjects. Also get his take on sports. He always has a great take on that. So talk a little Brewers baseball. The Brewers continue to be in first place as they make their way towards the playoffs. So looking forward to that. Also expecting, I'm not sure if they've announced it. I haven't seen it, but the Milwaukee Brewers right now trying to find out whether Christian Yelich is going to continue to be active or whether they're going to put him on the 10-day disabled list, having some back problems as well. And for various reasons, today is the deadline for that. So it's going to make a difference. Do you have Christian Yelich now to secure your place in the playoffs, or do you kind of rest him basically to hope that he's healthy for the playoffs? So we'll talk to Luke about that in hour number two as well. Coming up this hour, at the bottom of the hour at 1:30, a very special guest. Glad to have him. Our usual colleague and guest, Mr. Trygve Olsen of the Lincoln Project, not able to join us. We're thinking of him today, and we'll welcome him back next week. Has something come up there? But Jeff Timmer, his colleague at the Lincoln Project, also a senior advisor, is going to be with us today at 1:30. And here's the deal on Jeff Timmer. And this is why I'm always glad to have Trygve, but it's kind of cool to have Jeff come in as well. He was the executive director of the Republican Party of Michigan for several years. Big GOP operative in Michigan. which, of course, like us in the Midwest, in a key state in terms of national politics, the Electoral College, who is going to be the next president of the United States? Remember, in 2020, Donald Trump became president of the United States by fewer people, fewer votes, than sit inside Camp Randall Stadium on any given Saturday. I tell people that in person, and they look at me and they're like, what? It's true. That, because Camp Randall holds just over about 80,000 people here in Madison. If you add up what Trump won by in 2016 in Wisconsin, which is about 23,000 votes, in Michigan, and Jeff can correct me, but I think it's around 20,000 votes, and then Pennsylvania, about 20,000 votes. So Trump won somewhere between, with about 60 to 70,000 votes more in those three states, and thus that's what put him over the edge over Hillary Clinton in 2016 in the Electoral College. So just think about it. Had the same number of people that sit inside Camp Randall Stadium in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania simply voted for Hillary Clinton rather than Jill Stein, let's not even talk about Trump, but Jill Stein or other third-party person, Hillary Clinton would probably be on her second term, and she would have appointed three U.S. Supreme Court justices. Think how different our world would be. Think how different the United States would be. So we're going to be, Jeff Timmer's going to be here, like myself, like Trigvi Olson. Jeff has left the Republican Party since the Trumpster is in office or was in office. So talking to Jeff a little bit about what happened in Michigan. Also, if you look at Michigan, and now they have a Democratic governor in Gretchen Whitmer, they also have been able to take control of the state legislature there. And a lot of things are getting done in Michigan right now. So we're going to talk to Jeff about what happened in Michigan, how that's applicable to Wisconsin. And then, because he's one of the most connected guys nationally, I want to ask him about this issue of violence, political violence, which is relatively new in the United States. I mean, we've had it before in various degrees. But political violence in terms of intimidation. I just heard on the rerun, by the way, over the weekend of the Tom Hartman show here on Civic Media, Mitt Romney, the retiring U.S. Senator from Utah, spends $5,000 a day of his personal money for security for his family. So we'll talk to Jeff Timmer about that. When we come back, we're going to talk about National Voter Registration Day and take your calls, 844-967-2789. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Civic Media Radio Network, and welcome back to the Tom Ball Show, along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer and engineer, as we celebrate this National Voter Registration Day. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to Jeff Timmer, former executive director of the Michigan Republican Party, now a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. He's seen a lot and seen a change in how things happen in Michigan. And of course, we can battle one another. College football. You got the University of Michigan, Michigan State, both Big Ten schools. We play them, of course. Basketball, play them. And then you got, I suppose we should talk a little bit about the NFL with him. I'm wearing my Packers shirt today because we're going to have in here in-house our friend Trigvi Olson, a Packer owner, and not able to join us today. And he was very kind enough to put us in touch with Jeff Timmer. So I suppose we could talk to Timmer about the Lions and the Packers, because for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I kept picking the Lions and saying, you know, well, this is their year. They're a sleeper team. And they kind of just fizzled out. So this year I said, no, this is going to be Jordan Love's year. We're going to win the NFL or National League, or the Central Division, sorry about that, the Central, and now I bet you Detroit's going to go on a tear.
Who knows? I have no idea what to expect from the Packers now. Jordan Love looks good. I feel like he's going to develop into an excellent quarterback. He's already good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just that I think he's going to flourish with this team, but
we'll see.
The Lions are one of those underdog teams that perpetually have the, like, man, they're going to get it this time. And then they always just fall.
We'll see. So maybe if we have time, we'll talk to Jeff Timmer about the Lions versus the Packers. But more important things today, and we're also going to talk about this with Jeff Timmer at 1:30, is kind of this overall plan by the Republican Party nationally, and it kind of trickles down into state parties, making sure that people are messing with people being registered to vote. And today is National Voter Registration Day. And it's a great day to remind all of us to go online if you're able to. And there's a simple website. It's called NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org. So just take what the phrase National Voter Registration Day. National Voter Registration Day. All together. No spaces, no periods, no hyphens, no nothing. Just National Voter Registration Day .org. So National Voter Registration Day .org. Put that in your search engine. It comes up. And there it will tell you that today is National Voter Registration Day. And what this is meant to do is to, if you've never voted before, or if you've moved into a new municipality, very easily you can click on it and register to vote where you're at. Or you can make sure you're ready to vote. And you can check your voter registration on this site. And you say, Todd, why? I mean, I go to my polling place. I'm already registered. I know that. So in smaller communities, and when I lived in our family farm, I voted in a town or a township, but the town of Bloom in Richland County, very small polling place. I knew all the lovely people who volunteered their time or were paid a stipend, but basically it's volunteering. And it's pretty easy. You know, they knew when I lived at the farm, they said, oh, well, Todd lives there. We know him. A smaller municipality is easier to keep track. But what happens in medium to larger size municipalities in larger villages or towns or cities is that sometimes voter rolls are basically wiped clean. And if you haven't voted in a certain number of elections, they say, well, we don't know whether they're really here. And they just say, well, we're going to take them off the voter roll. And this is a strategy by Republicans in particular to make it harder for people to vote. Because the whole strategy here is to, and this was the case in so-called voter IDs, which, by the way, I have no problem having to have an ID to vote. What I have a problem with are these Scott Walker era laws, many of which got wiped away via the federal court, that said not only do you have to have voter ID, but it very distinctly said which kind of voter ID. So, for instance, they said an official authorized University of Wisconsin student ID could not be used to vote. Well, why? Why? Because it makes it harder to vote. And generally, students vote Democratic, especially in larger municipalities. Also, by the way, here in Madison, so again, I had no problem having to show a Wisconsin driver's license or ID to vote. I'm fine with that. But in Madison, one of the most liberal cities in the state, if not the most liberal city, you know what the Scott Walker people did? When they built the brand new DOT, Department of Transportation building, kind of, well, if you're not familiar with Madison, it's near the Hilldale Shopping Mall. It's not necessarily central, but it's close to it. Very easy on a bus line. A lot of people could walk there. University students could get on a bus there. Very easy to get to. They built a brand new building. And instead of making sure there were offices there to get your driver's license or ID, they said, oh no, we're going to make this only administration. And what they did was went to the far, far west side of Madison, way out in Middletown. And not just like in the downtown Middletown. They went out into like the business buildings that are off of a main bus route. Very difficult to get to. Impossible to see from the Beltline. Basically picked the hardest place they could find in Madison to get to. And under the Walker administration, they signed a lease to rent a building to make sure that was the only place you could get an ID or a driver's license in the city of Madison. Therefore, making it more difficult to get a required ID in order to vote. That was intentional. That was intentional. Why do I know this? Because I was part of the Republican Party during that time. It was intentional. So this is a great day to make sure that you're registered to vote. What do you think about that? I mean, are you sickened by this type of stuff? Have you already registered to vote? Have a few minutes. We'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Could also log in on the Civic Media app. If you haven't done it, download it on the Apple or Android phone. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Takes less than a minute. It is free. That's what Gail King calls a deal. You can text us or call us there. Or give us a ring, 844-967-2789, about National Voter Registration Day. So let's see. I thought this may blow up my face, Mr. Zomers, but we're going to see how easy this is. So I've gone to nationalvoterregistrationday.org. Again, nationalvoterregistrationday.org. I'm going to scroll down. It says, check your voter registration. All right. So I'm putting my first name here, TODDALLBAUGH, last name. Very good. Now, this could be very interesting because I moved recently and I re-registered to vote. So let's see if my new address is in here.
Yeah. And since we can't see the website there, I also am looking at it right now. It's very straightforward. It has some pictures of people being excited to vote. And below that, there are a couple of categories. There's register to vote, check your registration, and get vote ready, #vote ready. And what does that mean?
Yes, what does it mean?
That means, I don't know. I think I would have to register to vote in order to see what that means.
Maybe, so, perhaps. So I'm now, I didn't want to give out my street address over the air. So I put my street, my new apartment here in Madison in there. Put my birth date in, my email address. We're going to nationalvoterregistrationday.org. And Todd is checking to see if he is registered to vote right now.
And you can also, if you are in Wisconsin, always go to myvote.wi. I want to double check before I say this. .gov. Yes, myvote.wi.gov will also let you see if you're registered to vote. This website is just more comprehensive to places outside of Wisconsin.
All right, so I put everything in. Thank you, Mr. Zalbers, for covering that airtime there. I put in my, so all I had to do was put in my first and last name, my current address here in Madison, my date of birth, my email address, and a cell phone number. And then I put, I check the, I agree to the terms of service, and I click on check your registration. What was that? Not even 2 minutes? Let's see.
Yeah.
And well, this, here we go. Are you registered to vote? This will take 30 seconds. It has already popped up. It says, we could not confirm that you are registered to vote. Our records show that Todd Allball is not registered to vote at, and it gives this address. Don't panic if you believe you are seeing this in error. We recommend that you double check with your state. Please click through the next page to do so. And so it says, what do I do now? So look at that. I thought I was registered to vote. I mean, I voted in Fitchburg now. I was right on the line. So that could be part of it. So this tells me I need to go further to make sure I'm registered to vote. So this is exactly what this day is about. This is exactly what nationalvoterregistrationday.org is about. So I'll wait till after the show to finish this up, but clearly I need to finish and make sure that I'm on the rolls to vote. You know, not going to be anything, I don't believe, in the fall ballot here in Madison, but we'll see. But certainly next year in the primary.
There'll be a little bit going on next year.
Yeah. Let's go to the text lines here from Steve in Milwaukee. Remember when Voss showed up with a hazmat suit during COVID? Well, yes. I mean, that was just a media stunt, and sadly it worked because there were certain COVID measures that were put in place during voting in Wisconsin during the pandemic, and Voss was basically making fun of that. Also from Steve Milwaukee says, don't worry, folks, it's safe. Talk about voter suppression with the Dropbox debacle. Well, that's a whole other thing. We're kind of running out of time this segment before we bring on Jeff Timmer, but yes, in future shows, we'll remind people that it is safe and fantastic to mail in your ballot. In fact, Republicans now in Wisconsin are now saying, you know what? After years of being against voting early, now we're in favor of it. So it is absolutely fine to vote early, and we will continue to do this. But if you have not done it, nationalvoterregistrationday.org, nationalvoterregistrationday.org. Do what I just did. Check out and make sure that you're registered to vote. And I found out I am not here at my new address, so I'll have to take care of that. Be prepared. Vote. It is our best way to save democracy. We're going to talk about saving democracy with Jeff Timmer, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, after our break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Ophelia's weakening but still dumping heavy rain on the Northeast. WGJZ TV's Janae Reese is in Maryland.
Quite a bit of water. It's up past my shins. We are at City Walk in downtown Annapolis. The floodwaters has taken over.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is pushing Republicans to come up with a temporary deal this week to avoid a government shutdown. But Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez tells Face the Nation he's not on board.
I don't want to see a shutdown, but in my experience, if you give Congress more time, they're just going to take that time. Time does not equal solutions.
A NASA spacecraft has delivered about a cup of asteroid debris today. Administrator Bill Nelson.
OSIRIS-REx mission possible.
It wasn't Mission Impossible. It was the impossible became possible.
The spacecraft sent the material down to Utah. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Bowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and around the world, streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Appreciate you being in here on a Tuesday, September 19th, 2023. 33 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock, along Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. Normally once a week, and it's usually Wednesday, but we're going to do it on Tuesday. We have our friend and colleague, Mr. Trygve Olsen, but he was not able to join us today. But what a guy he is, as he picked one of his the colleagues at the Lincoln Project, also a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Jeff Timmer, who is the former executive director of the Michigan Republican Party. He was also an advisor to Ohio Governor John Kasich's 2016 presidential campaign and a guru of politics. Jeff Timmer, thanks so much for joining us, especially on this late notice.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure. Like myself, like Trygve, am I correct in saying that you have now left the Republican Party? Do you consider yourself an independent, or what do you consider yourself?
Yeah, I consider myself an independent. And, you know, when I look back, I think there were some very precipitating moments that really showed the character of the Republican Party and why I couldn't be part of it anymore. I think back to the kind of infamous speech that Mitt Romney gave after Donald Trump was nominated, where he called Trump out, assuming as the kind of the previous nominee and the standard bearer for the normal Republicans that others would follow him. And he found himself effectively the only one standing over that line, willing to step forward. And then later that year in 2016, the Access Hollywood tape, sure. You know, at first everybody, you know, rushed to condemn and then kind of pulled back. And then what was finally the straw that broke it for me was Charlottesville, when most of the party, almost to a person, refused to condemn Donald Trump and tried to explain away his good people on both sides comments. It was at that point that I said, I can no longer be part of this group. There is no redemption possible.
You know, I spent roughly, I mean, I started as a young kid, you know, volunteering, but I mean, you know, worked for Republicans for almost 30 years. And for me, I left in 2011 when Scott Walker was pushing through these so-called voter ID bills, which were voter suppression bills. I witnessed a lot of things in private Senate Republican caucuses, which I've talked about on this show. That was what did it for me. By 2016, when Trump was looked like going to be the nominee, I thought it was great. I said, this is fantastic, because guys like Mitch McConnell and these stalwart Republicans in D.C., they'll never put up with this guy. And the whole party's going to implode and we'll be able to start over and have guys like John Kasich rise to the top. Did you think that way, or is Todd just an idiot?
No, I thought that way. I mean, looking back, it seems quaint and naive, my impressions in 2016. I assumed that the party and its voters were better than they actually were. And I thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. I thought she was going to win Michigan going away. I thought she was going to win Wisconsin, and it wouldn't even be close. I had a clear conscience. I never voted for Donald Trump, but I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton either. You know, I'd spent 30 years being acculturated as a stalwart Republican. You can't like the Clintons. They're bad people. And so I thought, you know, in Michigan, my vote doesn't matter. Hillary Clinton's going to win going away. And so, you know, I, you know, left that spot on the ballot blank and wrote on my John Kasich, who I had worked with. Mm-hmm. And looking back, I mean, it was very foolish and naive thinking it couldn't happen. But you know, I what I fear looking forward now is that 2024 is more likely to be the dynamics are more like 2016 than they are a repeat of 2020. Even though we're going to have the same two candidates, we're going to have Joe Biden and Donald Trump. The dynamics are such that people are saying, oh, Donald Trump can't win. They're underestimating his, oh, the legal problems, all, you know, 91 felony indictments across the country are going to sidetrack his, he can't win. That's taking, I think that's underestimating Donald Trump. And that's always been his greatest strength, or that people don't take him seriously enough and the threat he poses seriously enough. And if the election were held today, I think Donald Trump would win.
You think that Donald Trump would win the national election if it were held today?
I think he would win the electoral vote. I don't think Donald Trump has the ability to ever win a majority of votes in this country, but I think he has the ability to cobble together a majority in the electoral college. You know, when you look at how close Wisconsin and Arizona and Georgia were in 2020, had just 43,000 votes changed hands across those three states, it didn't matter that Biden won by nearly 8 million votes. Donald Trump would have been reelected president.
Jeff, that scares the crap out of me. Before you came on, you know, I reminded people, our listeners, that in 2016, Trump became president by fewer people, and not to bring in Big Ten rivalries, but fewer people than back into Camp Randall Stadium to watch a Badger game. You know, Camp Randall holds about 80,000 people. We lost, Trump won Wisconsin in 2016, roughly 23,000 votes, about the same number of people that said, Hillary's going to win this in a landslide. Let's send her a message. And they voted for Jill Stein. I don't know what the, but Michigan, what? Trump won that by about how many votes?
It was a little less than 10,000. It was even that much closer.
And Pennsylvania was what? Another 20, 30,000, something like that?
Yeah. So it was a handful of votes that elected him in the first place. It was only a handful of votes when you consider there was more than 155 million votes across the country. And 43,000 votes are all that kept Donald Trump out of being reelected in 2020. Yeah.
So looking ahead, so what do you think? Do you base this, you're saying if the election were held today, you believe that Trump would win the Electoral College. Do you base this on what you're seeing in Michigan, Wisconsin, or these other battleground states that you think that, that Trump just has the votes to win the popular vote in these states? Or what do you think that is?
Yeah, I think so today. I think that there's a combination of there's real economic anxiety that is lingering as a result of the job loss and the relative collapse of the economy while Trump was president during COVID. Mm-hmm. The inflation that then resulted from that, it takes time for the reality and the public's perception of the economic conditions to catch up with the reality of the numbers. The reality is all the indicators are going in the right direction, right? Inflation is lowering. We have more people working in the country than any point in our history. The economy is growing at a steady pace, better than any other industrialized nation. Yet people's own individual economic anxiety is such that they're not sure it's going to last. Mm-hmm. I worry about things. That's why I think right now that would put the election into doubt. And I worry that the strike, the UAW strike, is coming at just the time where it could alter the trajectory of people's perception catching up to that economic reality and do real damage to the economy.
I think this is a wake-up call, and I appreciate your bluntness, because I think that too many people that live in places like Madison or Milwaukee, you know, or just say, look, that can never happen again. And by the way, to our listeners, we're not going to take callers this segment with Jeff, but if you want to text in and ask a question or a comment on the text line, please do so on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, you can download it on your Apple or Android device. And on the text line right now from Waukesha, Steve from Milwaukee says, too many people took Hillary's vote for granted. And he also goes on to say that won't happen again. But I worry, Jeff, that because where I'm from in Southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center, I get back there quite a bit. And what the narrative out there, and Trigby and I talk about this a lot, the Republicans are great at narrative, right? And the narrative mm-hmm. out there is just what you said. You know, how are you feeling in your house? Are you paying more for groceries? Are you paying more for gas? And it's those pocketbook issues that voters often go to the polls to vote on.
Yeah, Republicans are much better at manipulating the emotions of voters and getting inside voters' heads in what motivates them. And that's not always good things like hope and optimism. It's fear, it's anger, it's anxiety. And what we're seeing is largely a race difference. I mean, it's large. The Republican Party is largely a older white party. Mm-hmm. It's growing more so each day, but those the populism, the economic populism message that's built around anxiety and fear that's being peddled by Donald Trump and the Republicans has really started to break through, especially with Latino males in now that's not as big a deal in a state mm-hmm. like Michigan or Wisconsin as it is in, say, Nevada or Arizona. Mm-hmm. But it is crossing those racial lines, especially with younger men of color, and that's a slight chink in the Democrat coalition. Mm-hmm. But what I think, I look at how good Donald Trump is. He's really bad at a lot of things, and he's really bad at strategy. You know, there's no mm-hmm. three-dimensional chess with Donald Trump. I mean, he's barely able to play checkers. But he intuitively gets how to the optics of things. Like he announced this morning his campaign announced that instead of participating in the next Republican debate, nobody thought he would, mm-hmm. he's going to instead be at a picket line, a UAW picket line in Michigan. He's looking to captivate and increase his position with rank and file UAW members, which had always been a Democratic strength. And it really is an interesting kabuki dance he's doing there with Joe Biden as Biden's trying to be presidential with regard to the strike. You know, he has a background and a career of being pro-labor, but Donald Trump's going to be the one out there on the picket lines with the members, and that's going to be a hell of an optic.
Yeah,
and I don't know how the White House counters that.
I don't either. And like you say, I mean, whether it's Trump himself or the people around him, it's a pretty smart political move. And What concerns me, Jeff, is, I mean, here's another caller or a texter. We just got into the text line. Feel free to text us, by the way. It says, is Jeff going to come back on the show when he's wrong? It wouldn't say that because they have the right-wing Spanish radio popping up everywhere down there. I don't get it. The current iteration of the Republican Party could not be more anti-Latino and anti-immigrant. I mean, when I was coming up, Jeff, you had Ronald Reagan talking about how, you know, immigration strengthens America. He and George H.W. Bush in the primary were going back and forth and seeing how loose the border could be between Mexico. And now that's completely different. How young Latino voters could be Trump people, I don't get it. But you're right. It's real. And if liberal Democrats and progressives ignore that, it's at a democracy's peril.
Right. I think it's, on one hand, it's a sign of the strength of America, the great melting pot, right? Mm-hmm. It's not new immigrants that are turning to Trump and the Republicans. It's multi-generational immigrants, people who've been here for generations, the younger voters are, especially younger males, are turning. They've become American, and they don't right. think of themselves as Latino first, or as a Mexican immigrant, or a Guatemalan, or a Honduran, or Dominican, or whatever it is. They think of themselves as American first, and that's it's the same phenomenon we saw over the course of the 20th century, be it Irish, Germans, Italian, Jewish. Mm-hmm. As people became acculturated, they stopped voting as a singular block. And that's what we're seeing with some of the generational immigrants here.
I want to correct something. My bad old man eyes got something mixed up there. So there were two different comments there. So the second comment was saying, wouldn't you say that having Spanish right-wing radio popping up everywhere is having an effect? I think so. Yes, particularly in places like Miami and other places in the South, Jeff. Do you think that's true?
Oh, absolutely. I think that not just Spanish language mm-hmm. radio, but, you know, there's no question that the political right has done a much better job flooding the information zone and creating their own ecosphere where people get their information. I mean, that's why we have what amounts to kind of parallel universes going on in this country, where people see two different realities. It's not like the Republicans think of themselves, Republican voters are out there thinking of themselves as the defenders of democracy and freedom and liberty and the American way of life and justice and all of they see themselves wearing the white hat, mm-hmm. Whereas both can't be true. They can't represent and vote for this autocratic, anti-democracy, anti-rule of law positions and politicians and still be pro-American.
Jeff Timmer, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, is our guest on the other side. We're going to talk about his home state of Michigan, what Wisconsin can learn from Michigan. After this, don't go anywhere. This is the Tonneau Ball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Jeff Timmer, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, is our guest. He is a former executive director of the Michigan Republican Party and here to talk about what's happening in America's politics, but specifically as we look to the election of 2024. Said something that gave me goosebumps in the first segment, that he believes that if the election were held today for president, that in the Electoral College, Trump would beat Biden. Let's go to the text line quickly. One of our regular texters from Monroe, Wisconsin says, quote, "This guy is freaking me out. Holy crap. Wake up call initiated," unquote. Here from also, and I agree. This is exact. And Jeff, I hope we can have you back on the show because this is the kind of stuff we need to hear. And I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I sometimes feel like Chicken Little yelling, the sky is falling. But when the sky is actually falling, it's okay to alarm people.
Right. Also from the WAUK in Steve from Milwaukee, listening to us on WAUK in Waukesha, says, quote, "The UAW, the United Auto Workers president, already said he wants nothing to do with Trump in terms," unquote, in terms of Trump showing up, as Jeff said, announcing today he's going to show up at the picket line. But Jeff, you live in Michigan. We all know the importance of the auto industry in Michigan. You reminded us in 2016, Trump won Michigan by a little over 10,000 votes is all. So it doesn't. Am I wrong in saying that it doesn't really matter what the UAW president says if Trump could just connect with a fraction of those folks on the line and their families then vote for him? That's all it takes to tip Michigan.
Exactly. I mean, you couple that with you know, Trump's ability to connect with the rank and file voters, the rank and file working class whites, especially whites without college education, that have been the basis of Trump's strength within the party. And then you add to that the notion, the concept that the national Democrats mm-hmm. don't seem to be doing much to dissuade is that they are more ivory towers on the coasts. That's where our decisions and our cultural wokeness comes. And I think, you know, I like to consider myself a enlightened, a former recovering Republican who has different views on a lot of cultural issues than many members of my party. But I don't think that, you know, from the perspective of folks like us in the Midwest, in the heartland, I think that there's a tendency to discount in among national Democrats how much things like I look at my dad try to struggle with gender pronouns and what to use, trying not to offend, but then always getting scolded by, you know, his grandkids for saying the wrong thing, even though he's trying to say the right thing, and getting frustrated with that. And I see a lot of people just that I know in Michigan and in Wisconsin, I'm sure that very much the same type of people, just getting tired of a lot of that cultural division that the Republicans are sowing, but that the Democrats are playing along with.
Yeah, it's Republicans taking advantage of that fear. And again, I agree with you that the messaging on the Democratic side is frustrating, because when you look at the record of Joe Biden, unemployment at historic lows, more jobs created than any president in the last 50 years, the amount of money put into infrastructure, I could go on and on. But we just don't hear that sort of messaging from Democrats and from the Biden camp often enough, in my opinion. And then you get this whole no labels party coming up. And Jeff, this is not the time to go no labels, because if people want to, quote unquote, send Democrats a message, we're going to end up with Trump for another 4 years or more.
Right. I think no labels, if they end up on the ballot in states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, that that's all Donald Trump needs to get over the top. When you look at the margin in that Joe Biden racked up in Michigan in 2020, a lot larger than in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Biden won Michigan by a little more than 150,000 votes. That will be erased and eclipsed if no labels is on the ballot in Michigan. And that is a fear. That's an existential fear, because the Trump calculus is very simple. They don't need to convince people to vote for Donald Trump. They need to convince about 250,000 people in six states to not vote for Joe Biden.
Scary and well said. Our time always goes too fast. About 3 minutes left, though. I'm just going to cut to the chase. What can Wisconsinites learn? What's the biggest one or two takeaways that we in Wisconsin can learn from Governor Gretchen Whitmer and the Democrats' success in Michigan?
Well, I think, you know, watching Whitmer capture a majority in the state legislature, very narrow majority in both the state House and state Senate in Michigan last time, has made a tremendous difference in clearly in her ability to govern that Tony Evers does not enjoy in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. What Whitmer has done, though, is really try, she did this throughout her first term when she had a Republican legislature. She really tried to co-opt the center right. She made no bones about the fact that she was a progressive, traditional center left Democrat. But she reached out and tried to build coalitions with especially like the Chamber of Commerce groups around the state, business groups around the state. Yep. She had a very healthy, robust Republicans for Whitmer in both of her elections, people who were made up of former Republican elected officials, administration officials from the Snyder and Engler administrations. And she really emphasized co-opting that available moderate center-right coalition out there. And that's what I would advise Governor Evers to do, is recognize that just because Republicans don't vote for it doesn't mean in Madison doesn't mean it's not bipartisan. Yeah. Republican voters out there agree with a lot of his positions.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next hour. They just announced a brand new deal Republicans did with the Brewers to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee on a new stadium. And again, it's about messaging. I didn't mean to be rude. Normally, Triggy and I, because he's a Packer owner, we talk a little NFL, so I have my Packer shirt on today. I'm going to tell you, Jeff, right now, for the last 3 years, I've said Detroit is the sleeper team in the Central Division there, and they just fall apart. Is this the year, Jeff, that the Lions are going to do it?
I have been a Lions fan for 50 years, and I've learned to always expect the worst. In my lifetime, there's never been a more talented team, and that includes the Barry Sanders teams.
Yeah.
There's never been a more talented team, and there's never been a more inspiring coach. We'll see if this is the year they can pull it together. They fell apart at home against a Seattle team they should have beaten this last weekend. We'll see, and we'll see you here in a couple of weeks coming up against the Packers.
I know. That's a big game in the Central. But I mean, the Central Division not looking real well, real good right now, by the way.
So. No, it's not. I think the one thing that can unite us both in Wisconsin and Michigan is how much the Vikings suck.
100%. We're with you on that. Jeff Timmer, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your take on this. Come back and talk to us soon. You have a valuable message that everybody needs to hear. Thanks for your time, Jeff.
Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure. Jeff Timmer, senior advisor at Lincoln Project. Your calls on the other side. What do you think about what Jeff and I have been discussing as we looked at 2024? Could Trump win? 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin,
and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW.